Good morning. It is Tuesday, July the 23rd, in the year of our Lord, 2024. I'm J.D. Walt, and this is your wake-up call. And yes, friends, it's Tuesday, so you know what that means. It means I'm wearing my gifted taco socks today. It's Taco Tuesday. And I'll be on the hunt like you. So it's just one of those small serendipitous joys in life, isn't it? Taco Tuesday. But we got a challenging entry today, let me warn you. So we're going to need some tacos. Let's begin, as is our custom, with consecration. Wake up, sleeper. Rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Jesus, I belong to you. I lift up my heart to you. I set my mind on you. I fix my eyes on you. I offer my body to you as a living sacrifice. Jesus, we belong to you. And we're praying in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, in whom we are enfolded, through whom we live and move and have our being. Today's entry is entitled The Truth About Hard Times. And our text is Acts chapter 24, verses 5 through 9, continuing to unfold the hard time that Paul is finding himself in the midst of. Hear now the word of the Lord. We have found this man to be a troublemaker, stirring up riots among the Jews all over the world. He is a ringleader of the Nazarene sect and even tried to desecrate the temple. So we seized him. By examining him yourself, you will be able to learn the truth about all these charges we are bringing against him. The other Jews joined in the accusation, asserting that these things were true. The word of the Lord. Now consider this. Here at Acts chapter 24, as we're making the turn toward the home stretch of the Acts of the Apostles, it's a good moment for an aerial view. It is essential in life, particularly in the midst of difficulties, to try and get to a high place where we can see the larger landscape of our lives and ask some bigger and perhaps harder questions and gain some deeper and wider perspective. Isn't it fascinating how this entire story of the movement of God's kingdom and the advance of the church Jesus is building has come to an apparent grinding halt as we find ourselves in the coastal town of Caesarea, in the Roman-occupied nation of Israel, a piece of ground about the size of the state of New Jersey. We're in a courtroom presided over by a provincial governor at a litigation between the religious establishment of Israel and a Roman citizen who was a Jewish man named Paul of Tarsus. In the scheme of things, it appears to be a very small and even insignificant story. The stories which turn out to be the most significant stories in history most always begin and end in obscurity and apparent insignificance. They most often occur in the midst of incredibly challenging times, when the chips are down and backs are against the walls. The actors in such stories have no idea of the significance of the part they are playing. They are mostly doing the next good and often hard thing. They often feel like abysmal failures, taking one step forward and a half a dozen backwards. They are, as we rehearsed last week, experiencing the challenging realities of being, quote, hard-pressed on every side, perplexed, persecuted, and struck down. And when they can manage to catch the occasional aerial view, they breathe the gifted and rarefied air of knowing, because of Jesus with, for, in, and through them, they are, quote, not crushed, not in despair, not abandoned, and not destroyed. Therefore, by the power of the Holy Spirit, they persevere. Their goal is never greatness, only goodness. I saw an image the other day with a progression of four statements. I can't unsee it. I think about it all the time. If I know you, and I think I do, I suspect it will have the same impact on you. Here they are. Number one, hard times produce people of strong character. Number two, people of strong character produce prosperous times. Number three, prosperous times produce people of weak character. And number four, people of weak character produce hard times. The latter half of the last century was a period of enormous prosperity for many people. It was wrought by the strong character of faith-filled generations who lived through the hard times of the first half of that century. My sense of things is that the ensuing prosperity has lulled generations to sleep and led to significant weakness in character. Leisure and entertainment seem now to be at an all-time high. And notice the utter flourishing of the alcohol industry, with the proliferation of wine, bourbon, craft beer, and the rapid rise of the legalized marijuana industry, and the stratospheric rise of the legalized gambling and casino industry, with sports books literally opening up everywhere. We are now living in a very broken moment in history, characterized by multitudes of broken people, many in church, who are not dealing with their brokenness, but who are opting instead for the distraction of endless entertainment and the medication of a thousand substances. For all these reasons and more, hard times are approaching again, and perhaps already arrived. It's why I keep saying, chiefly to myself and also to you, wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. He is our character, and He must win the battle. He will do it through our sowing. So sow like a champion today. The prayer of transformation. And do we ever need transformation? Lord Jesus, I am your witness. I long to be like you, and I know I will not become like you with more religious striving. trying harder to be better, to look better, it will come as I abandon my life to you, as I say all of me, Jesus, for all of you. And then I begin to realize, really, you've already said all of me, John David, for all of you. And to that end, I receive your righteousness and release my sinfulness. I receive your wholeness and release my brokenness. I receive your fullness and release my emptiness. I receive your peace and release my anxiety. I receive your joy and release my despair. I receive your healing and release my sickness. I receive your love and release my selfishness. Yes, Lord Jesus, I receive your holiness and release my lazy, distracted, self-oriented self-indulgence. Yes, I receive your holiness and release my self-indulgence. I receive your willingness, your ever-readiness to engage life, and I release my ever-readiness to escape challenges. Come, Holy Spirit, transform my heart, mind, soul, and strength, so that my consecration becomes your demonstration, that our lives become your sanctuary in this world, for the glory of God our Father. Amen. Our journal prompts today, got a few here. Have you ever considered that you could be playing a quite significant, albeit small, part in a massive and most consequential story? Renounce grandiosity. Embrace humility. Play the long game and know it will matter more than you can imagine. On the other hand, do you find yourself swimming in a sea of distraction, going from entertainment to entertainment, from restaurant to restaurant, from bottle to bottle, in an effort to numb the pain? Journal on that today. Be honest. Don't be self-condemning. Just be truthful. Jesus can rescue you in a flash, but only the real you. He doesn't deal with the fake you. All we have to do is come clean. Realign. Gosh, so much is riding on it. Well, for our hymn today, and again, I'll give you that soft dismissal if you need to skidoo today into the next thing. We bless you in that, but if you want to stick around, we're going to sing. We're going to sing a classic. Rise up, O men of God. You know, I think that along the way, this one got changed to Rise Up, O Saints of God, which, of course, is an inclusive move, and that's a good move. It's fine. Support that. But I do love how our Great Redeemer's Praise hymnal really kind of tried to back out of the kind of modern-day political correctness movement. And they said, you know, let's just go with how it was written, and let's understand that there is an inclusiveness about this, but there's something about this hymn, Rise Up, O Men of God, and I in no way have anything negative to say about women, but, I mean, the women, I think, in many cases, where would we be in the church? They have been standing in the gap, but I sense God is looking for some men to rise up and stand in the gap. And I think probably when this hymn was written in 1867, that was probably the case then too. There was a need for men to come out of hiding, come out of their self-soothing man caves, and rise into the righteousness of God that's freely bestowed in Jesus. So we're going to sing, "Rise Up, O Men of God," to ourselves, to our men, to one another. It's number 518, 518. Four verses. We're going to sing it as a prayer. We're going to sing it as a prophetic declaration. And we're going to go with all we got. You ready? "Rise up, O men of God, have done with lesser things. Give heart and mind and soul and strength to serve the King of Kings. Rise up, O men of God, His kingdom tarries long. Bring in the day of brotherhood and in the night of wrong. Rise up, O men of God, the church for you doth wait. Her strength unequal to her task, rise up and make her great. Lift high the cross of Christ, tread where his feet have trod. As brothers of the Son of Man, rise up, O men of God." May it be so, Lord. May it be so. Well, that's our hymn today. And if you're needing to hit the road right now, I bless you and send you in the name of Jesus to sow for a great awakening today. But if you want to stick around for a few more minutes, there's a little bit more baseball in the game today, I think. Couple of minutes here. Gosh, I was working with our men in our little church here in Gillette. I've been teaching Sunday school this summer for them. And, there's so much I'd like to say right now, but the time is not here. But we started with James 5, right there at the end, where it says, "The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective." And I just began by confessing how I'd wasted so much of my time just trying to be powerful and effective, and how I really had woken up some years ago to, like, what would it mean to be a righteous man? Prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. And you know, I was talking to them on the other side of this tragic assassination attempt on former President Trump, and just talking to them about how our political wrangling isn't going to get it done in this nation. We need righteous men. We need the prayers of righteous men. That's where the power and effectiveness comes from. And we've spent a lot of time talking about that. And I shared with them those four statements. And afterward, one of the men in the class brought me a handwritten note. Humble man. I love this man. Was Tyler. He said, "Hard times produce," and he crossed out "strong," and he put "righteous." Hard times produce righteous men. Number two, righteous men produce good times. Number three, good times produce weak men. And number four, weak men produce hard times. He says, if we replace strong with righteous, I believe it stops the cycle. Truly, righteous men make good and hard times irrelevant. So without good times, it eliminates weak men. Cross out the now irrelevant times, and the now never produced weak men. You're left with only three words: produce righteous men. Righteous men produce righteous men. And so he says righteous men produce righteous leaders. Righteous men produce righteous government. Righteous men produce righteous country. Righteous men produce righteous allies. Righteous men produce righteous world. And then he writes humbly at the bottom, is this right? Question mark. Or something I'm missing? Question mark. I'm like, nope. Tyler, I think you nailed it. I think you nailed it. I'm going to take a picture of that image and put it on my own website, jdwalt.com. You can go check that out if you want to see it today. I think there's some real wisdom there. I'm still chewing on it for sure. But gang, it's time. And this isn't just about men. Let's be clear. This is all of us. We need to rise up into the moment in the very strength of Jesus Christ, which means acknowledging our own weakness and set a different course, the one that he's setting for us. The bearing is the cross. The cross is lifted over us. We journey in its light. Lead on, O King eternal. Lead on, O God of might. That's where we are. You know, the other route, and I think this is really what we're experiencing, Blaise Pascal once famously said in his Pensées, he said, we run heedlessly into the abyss after putting something in front of us to stop us from seeing it. No, we've got to get the cross lifted over us and journey in its light. We've got to get Jesus out in front and deep within. It's time, friends. It's time to wake up and rise from the dead. He's shining. It's time to sow for a great awakening. Get your seeds, guys. I'll see you on the field. For The Awakening, I'm J.D. Walt.
We hope that today's entry challenged and encouraged you. And thanks for listening to The Wake Up Call, powered by Seedbed. Be sure to share this with a friend, leave us a rating, and subscribe wherever you prefer to listen to podcasts. Find out more and join the movement by visiting our website at seedbed.com/wakeupcall.